Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network, bringing you coverage of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Our host will review the toys, books, comics, games, and all things related to the Clone Wars animated series. And after each new episode airs on Cartoon Network, our host will recap and review the show. And we want to hear your thoughts on The Clone Wars. Call us at 415-508-JEDI every Saturday after a new episode, and your call may be played on the air.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Republic Forces Radio Network. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the end of the Clone Wars series. We all knew it was coming, but that time is finally here. Joining me tonight is the majority of the Republic Forces Radio crew, including Jerry.
Hey, guys.
Nathan.
Hello.
Barrent.
Hello.
Jen.
Hey, guys.
And Arnie.
I come to bury the Clone Wars, not to praise them.
Strong words. As I said, we all knew this was coming. There have been rumors dating back as far as C6 about the imminent demise of the Clone Wars. There was always something kind of in the background throughout this season, wondering how it was going to wrap up. And we finally got that message. Now, what was everyone's reactions when the news finally came through last weekend? And it was announced by Jedi News, but on Monday, it was officially announced by Lucasfilm that the Clone Wars is no more. How did you guys all react to that? And why don't we go with ladies first? Jen?
After hearing about the Disney thing, I was pretty certain it would only be a matter of time. And I was actually going to be really kind of shocked if it survived the switch over to Disney. So I was not shocked at all. It was kind of like waiting for the axe to drop. So in a way, it's almost a relief to not be wondering what's going to happen to it and like listening to all of the rumors and ideas and all the kind of going around and around in circles. So it's good to have some news, but I just wasn't surprised at all. It's kind of too bad, but at the same time, it might be interesting to see, you know, a new take on a new series if there is one. But there was no way this was going to continue after Disney bought the franchise.
Barrent, what was your reaction?
Everybody sounds so sad tonight. And I think that was kind of my reaction. I was surprised. And I think that has a little bit to do with I'm still trying to be that innocent boy who still thinks that, you know, when somebody has a good thing, that it's just starting to turn the corner and really solidify itself in the Star Wars universe, that Disney would say, we have something good here and keep it. And that's just not the way the world works. They put the axe to things. And after hearing the news, I was very sad because they have left open a lot of story arcs. Everyone from Clovis to Darth Maul to what we saw with Ahsoka. I mean, they just left it wide open. And it's just kind of sad to see that we might have to make up our own stories for what happens to some of the characters that we love. I'm a little sad. I'm very sad. And I was definitely shocked at first, but I came to accept it.
Arnie, why don't you give us your thoughts?
Well, when Clone Wars started, hell, years before it started, it was always said that the series would run 100 episodes. That was the number bandied about. Why 100? I don't know. And in an interview recently, Filoni seems to have confirmed this, that when he was brought on, he was talking to George himself, and George was like, we're going to do 100 episodes. And he was like, 100? Wow, that's amazing. That's a huge number. And at Celebration 5, I got a chance to talk to Filoni, and I asked him, is that the plan? Is it still 100 episodes? Because at that point, we would have reached past the halfway mark. We would have been in the 60s, and he said that that wasn't the plan. There was no set end date for Clone Wars. But things happened, and things happened before Disney. Remember, it got moved to Saturday mornings. That was many moons before the Disney buyout. There were questions about the ratings. So it had reached the 100 episodes that they had said, and it was moved to Saturdays, so I was kind of concerned. But in talking to other collectors in the Star Wars Action News forums and on our Facebook page, I'd actually become convinced that the show could have a future life and carry on for at least one more season and maybe more. Over on Disney XD, they have those Marvel cartoons over there. Seems like the right audience for Clone Wars. So when Jedi News reported it, I was shocked. I know they're not ones to post unvalidated gossip. They obviously had a reason for it. I took a wait and see attitude, but it was a bit of a shock. And when it was confirmed the next day, my instant thought was really sadness because, as I mentioned, I've talked to Dave Filoni. We've had the pleasure of having here on Republic Forces Radio Network Tom Kane multiple times, James Arnold Taylor, Ashley Eckstein. So these are really nice people and some who I've come to admire. And my instant thought is sadness for people who lose their jobs. In the end, this is a downsizing of sorts. And in addition to the frontline talent who I just named, all the animators who work on the series and have done amazing animation, that was my instant reaction, was sadness that these people are now out of work for what seems like a corporate reason. And whether or not I agree with the corporate reasons, we'll get into further in this show. But my very first reaction was one of sympathy for those who had been part of something big in their lives and forcibly wasn't, and that they didn't get a chance to go out with dignity. They were executed in front of the public. I think a lot of them found out when we did.
Jerry, why don't you give us your thoughts?
It's kind of funny. One of the things that occurred to me or that I thought about when I first heard the news was, you know, not on Jedi News, but on StarWars.com is that I wonder if Jedi News got some information or some news that they really, really wasn't supposed to get and forced StarWars.com's hands like, oh crap, now we gotta go make a statement. I mean, I just can't help but to think, how was Lucasfilm, Filoni, Disney, whomever, how were they going to tell us? When were they going to tell us? I just think it's too much of a coincidence, and this might just be obvious, excuse me if I'm stating the obvious, that we got that StarWars.com update when we did. That said, you know, Arnie, I agree with you on some points. It's always unfortunate because, like you said, I've, you know, heard James Arnold Taylor speak on multiple occasions, and I do admire him a lot. I know some of those folks like him, they're going to have other work just lining up. I mean, James Arnold Taylor, heck, I think he does the voice of Johnny Test as is. I mean, you know, that guy just works over and over again. I mean, if you can imagine, you know, Johnny Test and Obi-Wan Kenobi being the same guy, that's just hilarious, right? But you're right, there are a lot of people involved who need to go find something else to do, and that's extremely unfortunate. Absolutely no doubts there. But where I guess I'm not terribly sympathetic about the production was is that, as we've talked on this show, season 5 has been pretty good to the point to where, like, yeah, I wouldn't mind them continuing on this caliber of storytelling. But unfortunately, when it takes you 4 years to get this good, I'm not surprised in the slightest. I mean, I think we, Jonathan, you and I have heard what we heard in a way that it was meant to be heard at Celebration 6. I mean, you and I came on here and gave our thoughts about what we thought we heard, and people were like, no, you're reading too much into it. There's no way this is going to happen. And we were 95% right in everything we predicted from Celebration. That said, one thing I am proud of is that I think they, you know, that episode, The Wrong Jedi, is the last episode. I think that was the perfect ending for the series in terms of storytelling. It answered so much, filling in a lot of other gaps. I mean, that to me, that was the perfect ending, was for Ahsoka to just walk away.
You know, Jerry, you're absolutely right. I absolutely agree with you on that, because you start off with the Clone Wars movie, the introduction of Ahsoka, and then you would end with Ahsoka leaving. So it's a perfect bookend to all the episodes that come in between.
Nathan, what was your reaction when you heard the news?
You know, very mixed, frankly. This was a show that when it was first announced, especially when they first announced Ahsoka at all, I was very much against it. I despised the idea of them basically, from an EU fan's point of view, taking 3 years of continuity that was very well integrated, very intricately planned out, and dashing it aside to put in something because Lucas all of a sudden has changed his mind and now he wants to do this Clone Wars TV show. Over the years, it's gotten significantly better. We're actually reviewing it each season right now on the films, and I'm starting to realize how much there were episodes, even in the early seasons, that I really liked more than I realized I did at the time, and that built more than I realized they were going to the point that now season 5's been outstanding. And while it did take them a while, I think it's a series that has grown to be a part of what we sort of perceive as Star Wars now. You know, the continuity issues aside, it is a part of that saga that we can respect in its particular place. So yeah, I was very much mixed on this. It seems like right now what's happening is that Star Wars, whether we're talking about the buildup towards Star Wars 1313 or the first assault first-person shooter that they've talked about or in the video game era, some of these comic series that are out there that are starting to be wrapped up for their final storylines and whatnot, and now this, it's like Star Wars was really finally kind of getting into a groove that it hadn't been in a while. And while it was dancing, Disney came in, as they have put, for instance, the video games essentially all on hold right now, waiting to see what's going to happen. They pushed back Detours to the point where we don't even know if it's going to be made. And now this, it's like as they were dancing, they came in and kicked them in the lightsaber crystals and said, okay, you know, too bad. You were having too much fun. I don't want to blame them because obviously this is something that was building for a while. Cartoon Network had made some decisions, as Arnie mentioned, the shifting to Saturday mornings. But I feel like this is a show that it's going out in its prime. It's done some great things this season, but that makes it both sad and uplifting. Sad in the sense that I'd like to see them be able to produce more stuff of this quality as of the last season. But at the same time, I'm sitting there thinking kind of the way that you guys are thinking about the last few episodes that we got. We got a decent stopping point. They've wrapped up most of the Mandalorian stuff to the point where you can believe that it can just go on and kind of go back to where it had been before. They wrapped up the Maul stuff. He's gone off the scene, even though we don't know what Sidious is going to do with him. He's gone from the active player scene at this point. So with all these things that they are wrapping up, they've gave us a decent ending, and that gives me hope that what this means, it's the glee in the background of this sad news, that for an EU fan, maybe, just maybe, now is the time where they're finally going to figure out how it all fits. That instead of the brain-racking of the last 5 years, now that there are no more episodes being produced beyond these supposed bonus material ones, now Leland Chee can sit down and say, here's what happens before the cartoons, here's what happens after, and we've got this little gap in between the time jump, here's the other ones. And that's it. And for the first time in what feels like a long time, since at least 2008, we will have a Clone Wars era that makes sense. Not in two ways, but in one. So there's that spark, but I almost hate myself for being happy about that, because the show had gotten so good.
And you know what, Nathan, if I can add to that just a little bit on that particular thought, I look forward to seeing Leland Chee get that chance without George Lucas dictating some insane way that it would play out, and maybe have a little bit better way of carving out what stays and what goes.
Now, when I heard the news, Jerry, as you said earlier, I went to see C6, and the things that I heard led me to believe from the very beginning that this was going to be Clone Wars' last season, even if it made it through the season. Things that were said, things that I kind of drew conclusions from, and I started this season thinking that this was going to be it. As the season went on, it was an amazingly strong season, and, you know, we heard things that they're working on season 6, they're working on season 7, there's all these things in the works. And I was hopeful, but at the same time, I kind of thought, you see people all the time in sports, in the arts, that they stay too long. They get to a point where they're really popular and they're really, really good, and then they just drag it out, and it's just painful to see them later in their careers. So in my mind, like you guys have said, and I'm not going to belabor the point, if they end Clone Wars with Ahsoka walking off into the sunset, I think it's perfect. It is the ideal ending for this series. And maybe, unlike some of you, I don't have a problem with some of these unresolved storylines, some of these loose ends. When you figure that Star Wars operates in a galaxy, we can't have everything tied up in a little bow, and I like that. I like kind of wondering about, well, gee, I wonder what happened here. It gives me something to talk to you guys about. But I'm sad, but I think, honestly, it was the right decision, even though this season has been the strongest one and I enjoyed almost every arc. That being said, I also had the job of telling my two boys that the Clone Wars was not coming back, and they were crushed. They had liked it so much recently and had gotten so into it that they were really disappointed. And I'm curious to see how many of the other kids out there are going to be saddened by the fact that Clone Wars isn't coming back.
Jonathan, I'm going to echo what you said. I think it's good that this show goes out on top, because this season has been the strongest. And it's very rare that a TV series in its fifth year is at its best. But the one thing that I can't agree with entirely is where you say it's a nice bookend to end the series with Ahsoka leaving. I agree, that would be a wonderful bookend for the series. But the series isn't over yet. They have said specifically, and I see there's a lot of confusion about this, because people on our Facebook page have read what was said there and see a trailer for upcoming content, and they read this as the Clone Wars is done on Cartoon Network. They don't take it as the Clone Wars is done. And the thing that's important to drive home is that production has ceased on new content. But there is content that was in production, some of which will be seen through to completion. How much that is? People are calling it season 6. People are saying it's a full season's worth of content. And I have no doubt that with the lead time in animation, perhaps that much was under some amount of pre-production. But what was said to the website Newsarama when they contacted Lucasfilm is there's, quote, at least 2 arcs, unquote. And the thing that the article said that everyone's reading a lot into, and I think it's intended to be, is they call the remaining arcs bonus content. So whether it's something that comes out as a bonus feature when they release the season 5 Blu-ray, or whether it's something that they show as a special on Cartoon Network if there's a contract to do so, or as a special on Disney XD, or if they make it go out through iTunes. Hell, they could put it on ABC since it's owned by Disney. But it's not over yet. It is for me, sister, but it's not over yet.
Yeah, see, I mean, Arnie, I made the initial comment about a perfect way to end it, and I mean that. I'm saying that this is a perfect way to end it, and I hope they don't shove these other arcs down our throat in such a way that it's like, oh no, it's going to continue with these 8 more episodes. If they're bonus content, I can kind of magically insert them wherever I want, if I want, when I want, great. But if the, you know, the weekly run on television is, Baron, I like the way you put it. I didn't even think about it that way. We started with Ahsoka coming in. We end with Ahsoka walking out. And the other arcs to me is like, oh, by the way, here's, you know, Clovis we should have gotten before Ahsoka anyway, if that's one of the arcs. Great. Personally, the little tab that they showed about the Order 66, and Filoni's like, hey, when you see this, you're going to want to know more. No, I really don't. I mean, it was good animation and good clone battling, but I know about Order 66. I know what it plays in Revenge of the Sith. You're not telling me anything I didn't already know. Yeah, one clone glitches, and that's kind of interesting, but to what end? Yeah, Order 66 happens, and they kill a bunch of Jedi. We saw that 8 years ago.
Well, you had mentioned about bringing it up to your boys, you know, because ultimately the Clone Wars is for children. You know, it's supposed to be a kid's show. And when Pharaoh and I heard the news, you know, I talked to Pharaoh about it and I said, you know, Pharaoh, Clone Wars is going off the air. And the first thing he said was, so that means we're not going to record anymore. And I was like, no. And he was like, so no more shows? And I was like, no, no more shows. He's like, all right, I'm going to go play Slender. So he's totally forgot about it. I think he likes spending the time with me, you know, watching it, but kids, you know, kids are for the hot thing. So as soon as this goes off the air, I think the kids are going to forget about it. At least Pharaoh indicated that he's already forgotten about it.
See, and my boys are a little different. This was something, I mean, like you and Pharaoh, it was something that we've always done together, that we enjoyed sitting down and watching this together. And you know, maybe we'll find something else that we enjoy doing, but this was something that they both really, really enjoyed. They looked forward to watching it every week. That was the one thing. You know, some of the other shows that they watch, you know, if they see them or they don't, it really doesn't matter. But Clone Wars was the one regular show they always made sure that they saw every week. They would look forward to it. So who knows? Now, as we've stated before, there was really a timeline for this. And it goes back for me, as I said, as far as C6. When did you guys start getting the inkling that the writing was on the wall for Clone Wars?
I'd say for me, it was as soon as you saw the new lineup for Cartoon Network, and they made no announcements whatsoever about it. Not that it was coming back, not that it was going. They just completely ignored it at that point. I mean, the EU, for the most part, all the companion series have died long ago. In that sense, Star Wars was already giving up on the series in some respects. At least Dark Horse was, and Del Rey was. But to see Cartoon Network just flat out ignored as if it didn't exist at all when talking about their new schedule, to me, that was a time when you're like, whoa, either something's changing or it's gone.
I was thinking kind of when you guys were talking about the stuff from C6 and how, you know, Cartoon Network was kind of being very iffy about next year and Filoni was kind of pushing, like, come on, guys, keep watching. We want there to be a next season. That was kind of the first inkling, but the nail was in the coffin when we got the announcement about Disney. I was certain that even if there was other material, there was really no way it was going to be aired on, especially Cartoon Network. And I didn't think that Disney would be the type to pull an existing show from another network and air like the tail end of it or one more season or even two or something on their own network. I just couldn't see them doing that. So yeah, I was suspicious at the beginning of the season and I was certain by the time Disney got a hold of the franchise.
Now, Berent and Arnie, you guys were at C6. You weren't able to attend some of the same panels that Jerry and I did. Did you guys have thoughts at that point that Clone Wars was coming to a close?
You know, that funny that you mentioned that, because I was actually at the Clone Wars panel at San Diego Comic-Con, and they did not have Boba Fett. I remember, you know, thinking that something's wrong when Filoni had mentioned that Boba Fett was not going to be in this season, and then he mentioned, and we're all going to find out what happens to Ahsoka. He had said something like that at San Diego Comic-Con. Plus, what you had mentioned before about the ratings. So I kind of got a twinge that maybe something was going on, but I definitely felt that there was going to be a season six, that they were going to give us a season six no matter what. And this is way before any of the news came out that Lucas had sold Disney or was thinking about it or whatever. But it kind of gave me a feeling there, like, why aren't they putting in Boba Fett? They're trying to wrap up Ahsoka. And remember, I've been going to these Clone Wars panels for a few years now, and Filoni had said before in the previous year that he was going to wrap up Ahsoka's arc. You know, Ahsoka's fate was going to be dealt with in this series. And, you know, I will have to say something else. For all the flack that Filoni has gotten and the whole crew, he really has been a man of his word when it came to, I mean, you could argue about the Bounty Hunters season that we only got about, but he's really been a man of his word about what was going to happen, how things were going to progress. And I kind of respect that. But to answer your question, San Diego Comic-Con, I kind of got, it probably wasn't going to go past season six.
For me, I think that I got the first idea about it when I was at the Young Jedi panel and Filoni was there going, we don't know exactly when or if you'll get to see these. We hope we find a way to get them out. Plus what you had said, Jonathan, which admittedly was something I heard secondhand, but you came right out of a Clone Wars Q&A and had said that they were doing 4-episode arcs just in case they didn't finish out the season, that they'd have self-contained stories versus things that start in one episode and continue 6 months down the line. So that was my first inclination, but I didn't talk a whole lot about it because it was unfounded speculation, and these types of things can have a way of spiraling. It's like the stock market. If somebody says a stock is going to fall and tells his friend posts it on the internet, the rumor picks up enough momentum, they think a stock's going to plummet, so everyone sells, and the stock does plummet. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that was my first inclination, but like I said at the very beginning of the show, I wasn't sure even until the Jedi News article was posted. I really thought, given the praise this last season had gotten from you guys here, plus the internet at large, it felt like a show that is definitely ending before its time, given that it had picked up so much momentum. As for ending the Ahsoka arc, I did read an interview with Ashley Eckstein that came out between the season finale and the cancellation notification, and it was heavily implied that she had recorded Ahsoka arcs after this one. So whether the show went on for 3 more years, 10 more years, I think Filoni always intended to end Ahsoka's story this season, but there were stories of Ahsoka the non-Jedi going on, which I think is a big mistake. I love the symmetry of you open with her arrival, you end with her leaving, and you don't see her again. Stories with her afterwards is a huge mistake, in my opinion, narratively. But I think based on that interview, unless she knew that it was being over and she was just playing coy because they can't really spoil anything, I think there were more Ahsoka stories out there. And heck, for all we know, one of them might be the bonus content we're getting.
And remember, I mean, when Ian Abercrombie died, they still had a lot of previously recorded material of his for the voice work to then work into future episodes. I mean, we got one line in Revival and then one episode of Tim Curry, and that was it. I definitely see them bringing in the team to start recording their lines for many future arcs without necessarily beginning the visual production very much on those, so that we may not see those stories, but we'll see the few that not only had the voice work, but also the visuals being done. They seem to work very much ahead of themselves when it came to at least the voice acting side of things on this.
There were other indications that Clone Wars was in trouble. Something as simple as earlier this year, we found out that the Clone Wars action figure line was canceled, that they were not going to be making any toys to go along with future episodes or future seasons. And this is something that's always been very closely linked to the Clone Wars episodes, is the toys. It's the kids are watching it on TV, and then they're going to the store and buying the figures.
A nail in my heart, man. I loved the Clone Wars toys. I love them. I know, Arnie, you weren't very fond of the aesthetic of how they kind of looked cartoony. And I have to admit, the earlier Clone Wars toys in that blue package, you know, they didn't have very good articulation. They were just kind of posed. They weren't very good. But when you come down to some of the troopers that they made, Commander Fox, you know, the exclusives, the Clone Wars vehicles, and some of the vehicles that we saw in those last couple arcs that they'll never make. I mean, the Clone Wars toys really were, to my son, Star Wars toys. Those were his, those are going to be his toys, just like the 1980 toys were our toys. These Clone Wars toys are going to be his toys from his youth. And, you know, I'm not mad at that, but it really struck hard, just the potential of toys that they could make that we'll never see. That hurts.
Given the direction of Hasbro's toy licensing right now, given all the layoffs, I honestly feel that that is a coincidence, not a causation. I don't think that they had enough advance notice to kill that line, because they also killed the movie Heroes line, let's not forget. They were just shaking up their product lines. I don't think we've seen the last of Clone Wars toys by a long shot. I think they're going to become like regular EU now, few and far between and spread out. But they made the big three, Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Ahsoka, in the realistic style. And Jocasta knew, if you want to consider her Clone Wars, she was in it. And I think we might see things like a Captain Rex clone in the realistic style. The clones, so easy for them to do, right? I mean, why would they not do it? And for some of the other characters, I could see if they ever go back to the EU, once in a while putting one out.
I'm going to echo Arnie. I was thinking that, you know, the lack of Clone Wars figures on the pegs, I felt like had more to do with the fact that they were rotting off the pegs, at least where we were. You could just keep coming back day after day, and they were the same figures every day, and they weren't moving. Companies weren't buying anymore. Hasbro wasn't making any money. And so I feel like they canned the line just because it was financially reasonable. And that may just show that interest maybe in the Clone Wars has waned. And so it wasn't a profitable thing. And, you know, even if it had stayed on Cartoon Network, they may have canceled it just because maybe the viewership was down. But I don't think that was necessarily related directly.
I see that, though, as, you know, maybe not a, hey, guys, stop making these toys because we hear the show's going away. But when you have a show, a kids marketed show, that cannot support a toy line, that is just an indicator, whichever one comes first. It got moved to Saturday morning. That may have told us, like, oh, geez, you know, this audience is going to go way down. We're not going to get any added push for the start of season 5. So let's not even bother making them. When I first heard that about the Clone Wars figures not coming back, I forget when it was exactly. I mean, when did we first hear that? Was it New York? Was it Toy Fair?
It was confirmed at Toy Fair.
Okay, confirmed at Toy Fair, but we probably had our hints, right? And when I first really heard that or put that together, be it from you, Arnie, or, you know, whatever, I just thought, well, of course it's not coming back because the show's about done. For some reason, that didn't surprise me. I already had in my head what I heard at C6, you know, with Filoni's words, the manner in which he said them, and his body language, you just knew. It almost wasn't a guess. It wasn't taking a lot of pieces and putting them together in a clever way. It's like his body language was all like, oh, geez, I really don't know what's going to happen. They moved the time to Saturday mornings. And Jonathan and I, right after the panel was done with Filoni, where they showed the first episode of season 5 there at C6, we looked at each other and was like, wow, Saturday morning, that's bad. This season better kick some total butt or it's done. Now, it kicked a lot of butt and it's still done.
That said, I just want to point out we are speculating, we're interpreting. We don't even know the hard data for the ratings for this because you have to pay Nielsen a lot of money to get that information. Ratings may have gone up. I was told by convincing people that Saturday morning is a better spot. It's a stronger spot on Cartoon Network for boys action programming. I always thought Friday night was kind of a mistake because I think a lot of the audience may not be home if you're trying to appeal to both parents and kids. And to wit, I think most of us here on the call and most of the people I know weren't watching it live on Cartoon Network. Most people were DVRing it and watching it whenever anyway.
I was watching it Saturday morning. That's when I was watching. Do you remember when Saturday morning used to be the time for shows? Now, when you have all these cartoon cable networks that are 24 hours, now when it goes to Saturday, it's a bad sign. The times have changed.
Yeah, I mean, Arnie, I won't deny that's what people were speculating, but I mean, I've not interpreted Saturday morning to be a good time for kids programming in a long time. I mean, I've not seen the evidence, and I've stopped paying attention the last couple of years, admittedly, but I've not seen the evidence that Cartoon Network pushes their new shows for Saturday morning. And it, you know, Friday night, Saturday morning, irrelevant. It's usually when you change times and days. I don't care if you're moving from a Thursday to a Tuesday, whatever the show is. When you change the original time slot, and remember, Clone Wars couldn't find a time there for a little while anyway. That's not a good sign. I don't care where you're moving to. When you make a big shift from prime time to Saturday morning, we hope someone watches, that's never a good sign.
And speaking of changes, there were some changes during the season. If you subscribe to the Star Wars Insider, you saw that they would have certain episodes laid out, and one whole arc was moved to make room at the end of the season for the Ahsoka arc, which kind of lends some credence to the argument that this was sort of a later decision than we're predicting right now. When they bumped the Clovis arc to, you know, give Ahsoka her glorious ending.
See, I guess maybe I misinterpreted this, but based on what Arnie just said not too long ago about, hey, I don't know when you're going to see this young Jedi arc. I kind of interpreted, completely on my own, mind you, no data, and you guys can tell me if I'm crazy or not, but I interpreted that they pushed some episodes out because they decide to air Young Jedi when they weren't originally planning on making that season 5 content. But you almost had to make sure you played that before you kicked Ahsoka out. So maybe it's a healthy combination of both that and what you just said, Jonathan.
And for what it's worth, with the shuffling that they did, they have, well, I managed to confirm through somebody within who's writing one of the guides to this stuff. Except for Revivals, season 5 is still assumed that the order in which it was aired, that's the order in which it takes place. So the Clovis stuff couldn't have been all that monumental if they can kick it back and say, you know what, all this stuff, this is how it takes place, that thing, yeah, not so much. We can throw it later and it will change next to nothing. They have given us, we're going to get a guide very soon to all 5 seasons that's coming out. I think it's in June, that is going to lay out the exact order of everything, and we'll find that, yes, it shuffled, but what Insider gave us turns out was not what they decided to go with in the end, very much like in season 1, when Insider and other sources, including even some of the books and the video games that were being put out to tie into the movie, gave us an order of the first half of season 1 that turned out to not even remotely be the order in which it was supposed to be taking place. I mean, we got to take any order they give us with a gigantic grain of salt, and there's not a whole lot we can read into it every time.
I have to think that the Ahsoka arc was moved up when they figured out there wasn't going to be another season on television. You've got to look at bonus content as that. Bonus content. It's for the diehards. You don't put absolutely vital plot points in a bonus feature. If they had ended the series with any other arc, all those loose threads that you were talking about earlier, Nathan, would be irrelevant next to the biggest one, WTF happens to Ahsoka? They had to answer it. The question from day one, we had Baron out there with the picket sign. She's dead. She's dead. And we had me going, she's going to live. She's going to live. And there had to be a resolution. And I applaud them on the one they chose. It was one I don't know that anyone saw coming. Now they have to make a big bronze bust of her for the Jedi Temple before Anakin burns it down. But
wait. I called this. Go through some season 2, season 3 episodes. I called that she would leave Anakin. I don't know if I called the whole order, but what I said at one point was that she would leave Anakin somehow, and that would be part of his slide. I never thought she would die, but I knew she'd walk away from Anakin. I've called that on this show.
Yes, you have, but leaving the order is what I'm saying. I do recall you saying that, actually. No, I think Ahsoka was moved up to bookend because what happens to Boba Fett? Who cares? Darth Maul, that's a bigger question, honestly. Somebody's got to kill him again and make it permanent this time. But Ahsoka is the big one. And for the audience out there who watches the show and catches it in repeats, because if this enters syndication, this will be there and the bonus content likely will not. You've got to answer the question that was asked with that Clone Wars movie.
See, I get the idea that they would move up the Ahsoka arc in, because of the possibility of an ending. I'm not sure that we can say that they moved it up because they knew it was ending, at least if we're talking about anybody but maybe Filoni. Because, I mean, you read James Arnold Taylor's reaction to this, and he lays very explicitly that it was while he was picking up his luggage at LAX on March 8th when he got a phone call from, it was Cary Silver, the Clone Wars producer, and Dave Filoni telling him it's over. If they really did move that up and shift it around because the series was coming to an end, wouldn't the voice actors have known this? Would this not have been a shock to him while he's, you know, walking around an airport, you know, around the same time that we found out about it, what is now a Friday ago?
Well, if you read Pablo Hidalgo's blog post, and Nathan, being who you are, I'm sure you have, where he talks about the Disney buyout, they were very hush-hush, and he had found out it was going to be episodes 7, 8, and 9, and the Disney may buy Lucasfilm all around the time of Celebration 6. And so they are very good about letting key people in. So whoever makes the programming decisions, and it may be Filoni, it could be Kathleen Kennedy. One of them knew this was going to happen before, yes, the rest of the people. It's like any layoff. I've been involved in mass corporate layoffs, and the people above know what's happening a good 3 to 6 months before they finally bring everyone into a room and tell them to pack their desks.
It'd be interesting then to know, to find out from any of the actors, you know, what were they told? What reason were they given for why certain episodes were knocked out of season 5 and the Ahsoka arc, if that is the one that was moved into season 5 that wouldn't have been, why that one was brought in? I mean, there had to be some reason. Even if it was just simply, we just don't think the Clovis arc is strong enough for this season and we want to get Ahsoka off with a bang so we can start next season with her in a different direction. But it'd be interesting to find out what they were told, because it certainly does not seem as though they had any inclination that the move here was because of an end coming.
Well, I would love to read an answer to that, but I deny the assumption that they were told anything. There's something to be said about the employer-employee relationship, and I'm sure that there are lots of changes to the episode where things happen and they look and, oh, that wasn't in the script, but they weren't told. They are the actors, not the producers.
Yeah, I mean, how involved are the voice actors in the episode after they record their lines? They see what's put on TV, and some have said that they forget what they've done up until the point they actually see the final project.
I could buy that for any other storyline. But to say we've recorded these episodes, we've put together these episodes for Ahsoka leaving, and we've expected it to be sometime after this season, so you don't have to worry about anything about that being part of this season. Don't talk about it. Don't expect it. Don't hint at it. It's just not going to be in this season. And all of a sudden, that comes in. Surely they would have at least let them know or prepared them for this possibility. Or if nothing else, somebody would have asked the question as soon as they say, hey, wait a second, TV Guide says, and people are talking online about, and hey, we just saw a preview that aired for these episodes. You want to maybe clue us in there, Dave? I mean, I have a very hard time. I have a hard time believing that they remained utterly ignorant about anything about these episodes moving. I can totally believe that they may not have been given any indication of the real reason, if that's the real reason. But I can't buy that they just sat back and went, oh, hey, look, isn't that neat that those episodes aired that we thought were in a future season and didn't ask the question. These people care about the project. I mean, they care more than a lot of the people that it seems like afterwards got, you know, people like Jake Lloyd, you know, Star Wars ruined my life and such. These people seem like they put their heart and soul into it. I can't imagine, especially people like Ashley Eckstein or James Arnold Taylor, not asking the question.
Nathan, we talked about this last week. The actual revelation at the end of the last episode of the season, when Anakin and Ahsoka part ways, the only two voice actors that knew about that were Lanter and Eckstein, though, right? Taylor didn't know. None of the others knew because they cleared the set.
Right. That scene they didn't know. But they were all talking about this being a big move where we finally are learning more about the fate of Ahsoka. You know, we may not have known what that fate was, but surely they knew this was the arc where we find out more about her fate.
I think what often happens in these corporate scenarios is there are whispers and hints of what's going on, but nobody can ever confirm anything because, like Arnie was saying, the higher-ups confirm nothing. So it's kind of like you have to try to either just move on with your life and ignore the rumor mills churning or listen to everything and get lost in the million different variants of what might happen. So my interpretation is probably maybe they had a sniff of what was coming down the line, but like, you don't know until someone higher up confirms everything.
And again, just to reiterate, all we're doing is speculating. We don't know. I think it makes sense one way. You think it makes sense another. Neither one of us is more right than the other. I think we're all just trying to reconcile it ourselves and ask the questions, but we're asking questions that no one on this call knows the answer to.
And hey, the answer won't matter in a few years anyway, because Lucas will tell us he always intended it for only to be 5 seasons.
Well, I got to ask the question. Would it have been better if Ahsoka died? Would it have been better if Ahsoka died?
Well, and you know that Lucas thought so. Lucas wanted her dead. Filoni's the one who wanted her alive.
You know, so there's a chance that she could take over Shakti's character, right? Right?
Stretch.
In The Force Unleashed. But no, that's the question. Would it have been better if Ahsoka died? Because I've read online, and I see it both ways, that it would have brought him to the point where we see him in episode 3, where he just cannot lose his wife. He cannot lose anybody else that he cares about. It was kind of a jump for him losing his mother, and then having this big stretch of not really losing anybody, and then losing his wife, and not being able to lose his wife. So I kind of like the idea that Ahsoka could have died saving him or something like that, and then he could have used that as a springboard of, I'm not going to lose anybody else. I've got to save my wife.
And I think that will be a wonderful discussion for the season wrap-up. Now, you've heard our impressions of the end of Clone Wars. Let's jump and hear what some of our listeners had to say.
Hey, Republic Forces Radio Network. This is Ben, or Devis on the forums, calling in for your end of the Clone Wars special episode. And looking back on it now, on everything that we have seen, I still can't believe it's been 5 years since I sat down in my local theater to watch this new movie called Star Wars The Clone Wars that would later kick off a new animated TV series that would play on TNT, move to Cartoon Network, and eventually move off of Cartoon Network. I never imagined all of the stories and the characters that we have gotten over these past 5 years. I never imagined that I would grow to care about those characters as much as I have. I know Dan or Rockstar was an opposer, if that's the right word, of Ahsoka early on. A lot of people were. I like to think that I wasn't, but I don't remember too much about, I don't remember caring that much about Ahsoka at the beginning. So I guess you could say I was indifferent, but after going through all of these past 5 seasons, seeing all the stories, all the things that the characters have gone through, that finale to season 5 was amazing. It got me very emotional, something that hasn't ever happened with an animated TV show of all things. And I can't believe it's winding down. It's kind of bittersweet. I'm still, even though.
Well, you talk about holes to plug, and as I said earlier, I don't necessarily mind that everything from the Clone Wars is not wrapped up in a little bow. I think back to the original trilogy, and we had the character of Boba Fett, and we really didn't know a lot about him. And I can only speak personally, that was always one of the appeals of the character. We didn't know where he came from, we didn't necessarily know where he was going to, at least at the end of Empire Strikes Back. And I liked that it wasn't all sort of spelled out for us. When we got to the prequel trilogy and we find out that, you know, he's a clone and we see his dad and all these other things, I actually felt like the character lost something. So here, I guess it's really okay that we don't know everything. I mean, as I said, it's something that we can discuss. Well, what do you think happened, or how does this work for you, or in your mind, you know, how do you play this out? It'll give kids something to act out with their action figures. I mean, I think it's okay in a galaxy as big as the Star Wars one that all our questions are not answered.
And to speak to the Disney thing, I have seen a whole lot of people going, ah, Disney's ruining Star Wars, because they're canceling the Clone Wars and they've put a freeze on the video games and they stopped Detours. But I'm going to be on the other side of the fence here. I do think that this Clone Wars season finally started to deliver the Clone Wars I'd always wanted it to be. But it's still, I don't think that the Clone Wars' highest moment held a candle to the saga's lowest moment in film. To me, Star Wars is and always has been a movie series. And I love the EU. I love the novels. I love the comics. I love certain arcs of the Clone Wars. But what I truly love is the movies. And if you took the Star Wars brand off the Clone Wars, I've asked this question many times on Republic Forces, would I watch if it wasn't Star Wars? The answer is hell no. And I am going to cheer anyone who wants to take Star Wars back to its heights, where it was a film series, and to make people hungry for Star Wars again. Why was The Phantom Menace so big? Because we'd gone 16 years without new Star Wars in theaters. Nobody's holding up Ewoks, either the cartoon or the TV movies, as Star Wars content that satiated them between Return of the Jedi and The Phantom Menace. So for Disney to create that hunger, the way Star Trek finally killed off Enterprise and let it lay dormant for a while to allow people to want Star Trek to be good again and then bring it back with J.J. Abrams. Yes, we're losing something that had finally become good, the Clone Wars, and something that could have presumably been very good, Star Wars 1313. But I will happily give up some good in exchange for great. And that's what I really hope for episode 7, 8, 9, the Han Solo movie and Boba Fett movie. I hope for the theatrical greatness to live up to the films that we have so far. So if killing the Clone Wars means a better movie, give me that movie.
Hello, Republic Forces Radio Network. This is Josiah Miller, a longtime listener, first-time caller, and considering the discussion that's about to take place about the announced end of the series, I feel even stronger remorse about the fact that I haven't called before, because now I guess there's no more new thoughts to share unless they come out with some new direct-to-DVD video like Disney's known to do with their properties, and they have that Rush Clovis arc, I believe, that they could do something with if they want to lead it into episode 3 in their continuity. Of course, I really like that idea you guys came up with you can just have the Tartakovsky series second part, the third season, just have that lead into episode 3. I mean, that'll be fine. No one's going to complain about that. Recently I came back to Clone Wars around when season 3 was coming out, and I rewatched it and I became a fan. You know, I love Star Wars. I was getting back into the Star Wars spirit, and you know, I guess I'm kind of sad that it's over, but I'm glad that we got all the good that we did. I'm glad that they ended it right. They closed out Ahsoka's arc, and they can do more with her, but it's not a loose thread, necessarily. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's an uncertain future for Star Wars at this point, obviously. And I guess we're going to have to wait to see what LucasArts and Lucasfilm and I guess Disney has in store for us. So you guys, thank you so much for all the work you have put into this podcast series. Thank you so much, Vinganza Media and everybody behind it. I have enjoyed much of your discussions throughout the few years I've been listening. And just, you're all awesome. So later.
I want to echo the caller statements, because everyone on this call, plus Dan, who isn't on this call, everyone who's been part of this show, past, present, and we'll talk about the future. You guys have done a remarkable job week in, week out, year after year, rearranging private lives to talk about the Clone Wars. So I have kind of moved away from this show for reasons that are probably very evident by this point. The Clone Wars didn't live up to what I'd hoped it would be when I started the show, but it was for you guys. And while I may not have always enjoyed the Clone Wars, the TV show, I've always enjoyed listening to you guys talk about it. So thank you so much for your dedication.
Hi, everyone. Thoughts on the canceling of the Clone Wars TV show. I'm fairly disappointed in it. I mean, not so much in the way that the show ended. I mean, we were all expecting it was going to come to an end eventually. It's good that it went out on top of its game. I mean, it would be bad if it kept, you know, churning out things that were inferior. So it was nice that this is probably their strongest season they've ever had. It's good to see that there is still some footage that's out there. I mean, I watched a little Filoni video that they had where they showed the new scenes from the upcoming, soon be released in some other format footage, and it looks phenomenal. I never thought we'd see Admiral Trench again, but still kind of cool to see him, and obviously all the other things that it alludes to, with possibly some information about the origins of Order 66. But I think the thing that really annoys me is, you know, watching social media and everything else, is the way that it was handled. I mean, we all knew when Star Trek The Next Generation ended, which was, you know, a show I had followed for many years, you know, during the lull when Star Wars was not around. We all knew season 7, last episode, that was it. We had a build-up, we had a big deal, sort of a goodbye, we had a farewell episode, and everyone knew that that's what was happening. This was handled in the, oh, yeah, no, we've got something going on. It's like, you know, just come out and tell us. Don't be sneaky about it. Don't be underhanded. I mean, I've seen some things from a few of the voice actors where they got a phone call. It's like, oh, by the way, the show's off the air. It's like, just come out and be honest about it. The fans deserve at least that much. And we're not looking for the world. We're not expecting, you know, you to change your minds or anything like that, but just come out and say, you know, this is it. We're not going to do this anymore. We're going to do something else. I mean, I understand the need for not to give away secrets of the plot. We're not asking for that information. Just come out level with us. Say, this is what we're doing. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed kind of shady the way the whole thing was handled. Obviously hoping that something will fill the void. I mean, I see what they're saying, that they want to build up a vacuum so that there will be a greater demand for Star Wars when it does return to theaters. But, you know, part of me says, you know, why couldn't they both have existed? I mean, Lucasfilm Animation could have kept doing their thing and been separate from the rest of the live action footage that was going on. But, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm happy for what we got. I'm excited for what may be coming in the future, at least to wrap up the rest of it. I'm thinking that maybe with the freedom of not being constrained by the TV ratings and all of that, we might actually get to see some fairly intense stuff for the wrap-up, things they wouldn't normally be able to show on television. So maybe they'll ramp it up a few notches. But, you know, that was the main thing for me. Just the one part that left a sour taste in my mouth is just the way that it was handled. So hopefully they, you know, this year, once we get past it, we'll start getting things going in the right direction again. Take care, guys, and I'll call if anything new ever shows up in my neck of the woods. Bye.
You know, Darth Akari, I absolutely agree with you. You know, I kind of feel the same way. Why couldn't they do both? If it's a great company and they have stories to tell, why not do both? You know, sometimes you have to do more than one thing. But, you know, we're not the ones making those decisions, and we just have to trust that the people who have our childhood in their hands know what they're doing. And it's a hard medicine to swallow, but sometimes we got to take it.
But, Baron, I don't think they're interested in our childhood. I think they're interested in your child's childhood. We're growing old. We're fading out. They want the next generation. They want their imaginations and their loyalty and their money.
I agree. The way they handled it for the actors was crap. At least it seems like it. But from a TV series standpoint, you mentioned the next generation. I was in, gosh, probably middle school, early high school, I guess it was. It was middle school, because I did a presentation to convince people, watch the final episode, because I got to see it early through a satellite dish feed. When that happened, it was huge. There was a big event in our hometown. There was all kinds of stuff. It's the first time I ever got up and won a trivia contest in front of a group of fellow geeks. I was so proud as a kid. I still have the little cup that I won from it. But that is the exception, not the rule. Most TV series, when they end, they just end. You don't realize that the last episode you just saw at the end of season whatever is the last one of the series. I don't think there necessarily should have been an expectation as an audience that when they got to a final episode, if it was a cancellation, not something pre-planned, that we should have been getting all the hype of, hey, this is it. It would have been nice, but television doesn't usually work that way.
And in all fairness, you know, we were kind of running into a sort of a MASH situation where the number of seasons of MASH was actually longer than the actual war that it was representing. Clone Wars was only 3 years long in continuity timeline, correct, Nathan?
That's right, and they even made themselves have an even shorter time because they essentially, they gave us that year or so, year to 2 year jump in the middle, so they had the first year and last year covered, but they had purposely jumped the middle of it all.
Hey, Republic Forces Radio Network, this is Ben. Or Devis on the forums, calling in for your end of the Clone Wars special episode. And looking back on it now, on everything that we have seen, I still can't believe it's been 5 years since I sat down in my local theater to watch this new movie called Star Wars The Clone Wars that would later kick off a new animated TV series that would play on TNT, move to Cartoon Network, and eventually move off of Cartoon Network. I never imagined all of the stories and the characters that we have gotten over these past 5 years. I never imagined that I would grow to care about those characters as much as I have. I know Dan or Rockstar was an opposer, if that's the right word, of Ahsoka early on. A lot of people were. I'd like to think that I wasn't, but I don't remember too much about, I don't remember caring that much about Ahsoka at the beginning. So I guess you could say I was indifferent, but after going through all of, these past 5 seasons, seeing all the stories, all the things that the characters have gone through, that finale to season 5 was amazing. It got me very emotional, something that hasn't ever happened with an animated TV show of all things. And I can't believe it's winding down. It's kind of bittersweet.
You know, I'm really glad that what we saw in the Cartoon Network run ended with Ahsoka, because, you know, if the Star Wars films were told to us through C-3PO and R2-D2's eyes, this was very much Ahsoka's perspective. I mean, it seemed like there are times where she was missing for several episodes at a time, but, you know, we know Obi-Wan's story, we know Anakin's story, we're not getting too much of them from this series. We are learning 100% of what we know of Ahsoka from this series. I really do applaud the show for creating a character that at first I didn't want anything to do with. I wanted to see a different Star Wars, and I got to the point where I accepted Ahsoka's role in the Star Wars universe, and it ends with her walking away. I think there is something poetic about that, and, you know, something I think is a good ending for the series, and I hope it kind of stays that way.
You mentioned the Clone Wars movie, and I had just previously in this podcast said nothing in the Clone Wars held a candle to the Star Wars movies. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That is one of the worst theatrical memories of my life. that was so disappointing when I saw that. I thought I was being punked. So I can't say that I'm going to have fond memories of the Clone Wars. It came to be good, but it feels like an ex-girlfriend who used to be addicted to heroin and stole all your stuff, and she finally got clean and made a go of her life, and you're like, yeah, we can still kind of be friends, but I'm never going to forget that you took my car and hocked it for junk. So that's kind of my feeling. You bring up that movie, and it takes away all the goodwill this last season brought.
You guys want to hear something ironic? I watched that movie at Disney World.
That is ironic.
But what's funny is I fell asleep during it, and to this day, I've never actually seen the whole thing.
True painful irony is going to be that this summer at the Walt Disney World Star Wars Weekends, it's primarily hosted by Clone Wars voice actors who they just fired.
No, that's not ironic. That's pathetic.
You know, piggyback and yet completely disagree with, or not completely, but to a large degree disagree with what Arnie just said. For me, it's the other way around. When the movie gets brought up again, I just went through and rewatched the Clone Wars film the other day. Looks really good on Blu-ray, not nearly as good as these seasons recently in high definition, but it looks really good. And having just finished up the final arc of season 5, I think Jerry's right. It's a perfect coda really to it. And it feels now like that movie that to me was so jarring in the first place, especially with Ahsoka entering and where the heck did she come from and all that. It was jarring at the time. I think now it really feels like we got a complete saga. That's another reason why I'm kind of scratching my head when we have folks saying, look at all the unanswered questions. There's not nearly as many as there would have been if this had ended after season 4. Instead, we have what feels like a nice, well-rounded saga. I think, just based on my last impressions of it, I think I like the Clone Wars film better now because of what we saw in the last few weeks. It was better on home video than it was in the theater, and it's better now than it was in 2008, 2009.
That is the caveat I will give you, Nathan, is the thing that really sits in the back of my brain is knowing what I know now, knowing how cool the Death Watch story arcs became, will I be more forgiving about how lame the initial Death Watch story arcs were? Knowing how good Ahsoka's arc went, will I be more forgiving of the Snips, Sky Guy, and R2-E? Probably not. But maybe.
It feels almost like The Phantom Menace. I mean, I would argue now that this series is very much to the Clone Wars film what episodes 2 and 3 were to The Phantom Menace. As a whole, it makes the whole much better once we get the entire thing, but by itself, the original film was not as good. I would definitely, though, just in my personal preferences, I would definitely rewatch the Clone Wars film before I rewatch The Phantom Menace. The Phantom Menace, even on Blu-ray at this point, which makes it somewhat more watchable to me, for some reason, it still is really, really weak relative to the other 5, whereas this film, it may be weak compared to what we got with the rest of Clone Wars. I still think it's stronger than Episode 1 was. But I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves since we will talk about this more in-depth, you know, later on in the show's limited remaining life.
And speaking of the show's remaining life, what's next for Republic Forces Radio Network? Well, the team has discussed it, and we're not leaving you quite yet. In the next week or so, we're going to record our Season 5 wrap-up, where we're going to go over the different arcs, what we liked, what we didn't like, what we thought was really strong, and what we thought was not so strong. Then we're going to be moving into our summer programming, and a lot of you have requested it. Some of you will question our sanity, but we're doing Ewoks. We're going to review both seasons of the animated Ewoks from 1984-85. A lot of us have talked about it, and we feel that Republic Forces Radio has covered all of the Clone Wars. It's covered the micro series. It's covered droids. It just wouldn't be right to end Republic Forces without covering the last bit of unconquered Star Wars animation, the Ewok series.
Admittedly, you guys even did the holiday special cartoon.
Straight up.
Now, it obviously has been announced that there is still bonus material out there, that there are still Clone Wars episodes that they've started that they're now going to complete. When those are released in whatever form that may take, whether it be online or bonus feature or standalone DVD Blu-ray releases, we will be reviewing those as well. And when all is said and done, and we'll review the original Clone Wars movie to put it in perspective with the completion of the entire series. So even though Clone Wars is ending, Republic Forces isn't quite done yet. But we are done for tonight, and I want to thank everyone for joining me on this call, and we will talk to you all soon.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks.
Thank you. Everybody get ready for Ewoks. Buy your alcohol.
Yep, yep.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Jerry, Jonathan, Nathan, and Barrett. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademark, Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.